Our Father in heaven, I ask as we consider your Holy Bible this morning that you'd help us to understand it truly. And I ask in the name of Jesus, amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Tomorrow we're going to talk about a very sensitive topic. Maybe not sensitive to anyone in this room, but sensitive almost everywhere else. And that is about church discipline in the form of about disfellowshipping people. But today, we're not. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and looking at verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that you might discharge some that they teach no other doctrine. I'm hoping when you read this verse that it makes you feel like you already read it before, because it's so similar to what Paul said to Titus. Why did he leave him in Crete? So he could set things in order and ordain elders in every city that they could deal with the gainsayers of false doctrine there. That was the purpose of the elders. That's just a review. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying. That word minister there almost seems like a use of irony. What kind of ministry comes from creative theology? Questions. It's the ministry of questions. It's about the benefits you get. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment. It might just be interesting for you to know that the word commandment here is not the Greek entole, which is the one used for commandments all through the New Testament, like the New Commandment and the Ten Commandments. But the word here is para angelos. It just means a charge. What's a charge? A charge is like a commandment, but it's more like a formal, like I could charge you at a graduation service. Would you call that a command when the graduation speaker gives a charge to the seniors? It's not quite a command, but how is it similar to a command? It's telling them how they ought to live, what they ought to do. The word here is charge, and in fact, when it says in verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity, this is just the noun form of that verb used in verse 3, where it says that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And in fact, it's the very same word as the one used, let me find it a little further down. It's used just a few verses further down this chapter, but I'm not seeing it right now. If I could just tell you what I understand, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment, or the charge to regulate doctrinal teaching, is love. Or said backwards, if you don't regulate doctrinal teaching in the church, it leads to dissension. Let me say that thought again. What is Paul's goal in telling Timothy to regulate doctrinal teaching? It's not a control mechanism so he can be the one in charge. It's because doctrinal division leads to hard feelings and dissension. The end of the charge, the goal of the charge, is love. Verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside to vain jangling. Jangling just meaning talking. Desiring to be teachers of the law. I'd like you to understand verse 7 in connection with verse 4. In both the letters to Titus and Timothy, it mentioned genealogies. What would you do with genealogies? Of course, for the Hebrews, genealogy had a lot to do with office. there was a genealogy that would qualify you to be the Messiah, the king, that would be through Judah, and particularly through David. But there was another genealogy that qualified you to be teachers of the law. And what genealogy was that? That's right, the Levites, teachers of the law. There is a principle here, because we don't really have people claiming to be Levites now that say they ought to be teachers, because at least I don't know of any. But there's a principle here about who is qualified to teach. The one who has the formal or ritual qualification, or the one who has another. Let's read on what it says. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So what qualification do they have? They have the formal one that typically goes with teachers, that is, they are Levites. What qualification are they lacking? Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about. Now, it's not they don't know anything. Matter of fact, they have quite a few opinions. But they don't really understand biblically, deeply, the truths that they're speaking about. Is there any parallel in our world today? Is there a type of formal or ritual qualification for being a teacher that you may possess and yet still not know what in the world you're talking about? What would be that qualification? It'd be a degree. That's exactly it. The closest thing we have equivalent to Levites today is MDivs. That's it. Formal qualification. Now, does that mean that if you have an MDiv, you can't be a teacher? It just means you shouldn't be a teacher because of your MDiv. First Timothy 1, we haven't read the whole thing, but for time's sake, I'm going to summarize it, says that the elder should devote his attention to doctrinal integrity. Now look at chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There is a little difference in the letter to Timothy and to Titus and the epistles written to the churches that Paul wrote. In the epistle to the churches, they start like this. I am praying for you. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for your faith since I heard. I pray constantly. He mentions to these people, he prays for them all the time. And what does he say to Timothy? He says, you should pray for them all the time. In other words, the work given to Timothy is kind of like a two-pronged work as an elder. The first prong is to maintain doctrinal integrity, and the second prong is to pray for all kinds of people. For those that are within and those that are without, and for those in authority that they could have a peaceable life. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 4. In the process of choosing deacons for the church, the reason for choosing deacons is listed here. But we, that is the elders, will give ourselves continually to, what does it say? To prayer and to the ministry of the word. If I could just close with that thought and try to drive it home a little bit. Those who are given the responsibilities in the church of elder, while everyone should study the Bible and while everyone should pray, the elders should devote themselves to those habits. For the elder, his prayer life is person-oriented. He's praying for his members. He's praying for his city. He's praying for his mayor and he's praying for the police force. He's praying for his president. And in fact, what it said is, for all those that are in authority, for the administration of his conference. And the elder is a man who has set aside much of the business of life for the purpose of prayer, and much of the business of life for the purpose of devotion to the Word. When we find that Paul devoted himself to prayer and to the Word, did that mean he gave up his secular employment? It's possible to devote yourself to those things and carry on a secular employment, especially if you pray without ceasing, and if you let your words be always seasoned with grace so they can minister grace to the hearers. Let me say that thought in another way. If you devote yourself to the Word of God and to prayer, you can devote yourself to prayer while you're going about your activities as a student or as a tent maker. And you can devote yourself to the Word of God while you go about your duties as a student or a tent maker if you will be planting and watering and sharing where you go and what you're doing. You can devote yourself to those things, and the work of God and the Word of God will prosper and will grow. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for providing for your church higher qualifications than genealogy, higher than degree, that you teach us and help us to understand what the Word means. I ask that you would show us where we have prioritized in a foolhardy way, that has neglected the source of our power. Teach us how to pray and when to do it. And I ask for these gifts in the name of Jesus. Amen.